Jesus' name. Amen. I've been so excited to do this series with you and just to open up a little bit more about Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit and who He is. And if you're visiting here with us today, we welcome you. And we like to make much of Jesus. We like to make much of God. We want to give them all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And it's good to understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to start the series today. And simply said, today we're going to look at introducing Holy Spirit and what that might look like. And so I just welcome you. And for this series, I want you to give me, or whoever's preaching, because I'm not going to preach at all, give us a blank page. And I know you've come from different congregations and maybe different movements and different understandings, perhaps, of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to ask you not to forget all that stuff, because that would be dishonoring to those that you've sat under, but just give us a blank page. Just don't write down all your preconceived ideas, but just give a blank page and say, I want to understand the person of the Holy Spirit more and more. The Holy Spirit can be a very controversial topic in church, and depending on what you've learned, what your experience is, and your own understanding, He's not outdated, He's not unbiblical, He's not irrelevant. He's possibly, though, the most ignored third person of the Godhead. Wow, that's a strong statement. R.T. Kendall says, we must learn the difference between being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being aware of the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Mark, you're playing with words. No, there's a big difference and it's very important. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that is why I had the privilege of spending time with the youth on Friday night and just speaking to them about the vision and all that kind of stuff. And for us to understand that the purpose of why we are here, why we are called the bridge, and what are we doing here, etc., etc. And we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we want to be, we are a people, and we say, and I said to them, our mission statement is, you should all have it by now, because it's up here every Sunday, at the bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's Word and Spirit. So we are Word and Spirit people, and that's who we are, and you cannot separate the two. We believe in the Word of God. It is the infallible Word of God. Nothing missing, nothing taken out of it, nothing added. And we believe in the Spirit of God who leads us and guides us and helps us, and I hope we'll see some of that. And we need to be aware of the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, which means that sometimes we can get carried away and run ahead of the Holy Spirit because we think it's a cool idea and it's a good idea and let's do that. And He's saying, whoa, safari. And the point is, we want to partner with the Godhead. We want to partner with the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And we want to do what is on their hearts, not what's on our hearts. And we want to go where they're leading us. And so that's why we have to be aware of the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. You know, studying this, and look, I've got so much wrapped up in this tiny little gray matter upstairs here that we don't have time for. We can do the subject for the whole year, but we won't. But we need to have a look at that and see. But today we just simply want to introduce Holy Spirit. And so if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 19, I should have said that up front. The book of Acts, chapter 19. And you say, well, you know, the Father, and I might say this a number of times, the Father, understand, I get Father God. God in heaven, creator of the earth. And I get Jesus incarnate, Spirit of God come to earth, Jesus incarnate, man walking amongst us. Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure about. Because that's like ethereal. It's like, it's not tangible. But He is tangible. And sometimes we just have to learn to put our fingers in the socket. You know, it's like when you put your finger in a socket, you get a perm. Any of you ever did that as kids? You know, plug the socket in and stick the wire in your mouth. That's why they called me Sparky Marky. I had light shining inside out of my eyes. But even in the Bible, some of them didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Acts 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country, came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "What are you talking about? No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And then it goes on. And I'm just going to stop there for the sake of time. And the point is that we're in Acts 19 here. They hadn't even heard of what happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit was given to the earth and the seal of the new covenant was signed by the Holy Spirit and His presence came for all men for fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And we see that here we have the Holy Spirit on earth. And these guys are going, "No, we didn't. We're not sure." And that's what sometimes today, perhaps, we're not so sure. And I hope, brother, as we go through this series, because this is a body of truth we want to talk about, that we will go, "Man, I've missed some part of this stuff. I'm so excited now. I'm so amped. I've got this best friend that called the Holy Spirit." And here we go. Here's another one. So we always... Most of you grew up going, "The Holy Spirit." And some of you have learned, "Holy Spirit." Well, and then when people say Holy Spirit, you go, "Oh, it doesn't sound right. That sounds like freaky." Well, His name is Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. So you can refer to Him either way. Sometimes we say the Father. We never say the Jesus. Just work with me. Sometimes we just got to think about stuff and go, "Oh, yeah." So we will hear us going, "Holy Spirit" or "the Holy Spirit." It's okay. It's not heaven and hell issue. So now I want to look at two questions this morning. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? And number two, what is the Holy Spirit's role in my life? I'm so glad you asked. So let's have a look. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a Him. Not an it. It's not a wind. It's not a cosmic, ethereal thought out there. He's not a mystical being. He's not the man upstairs. God is not the man upstairs. That is so dishonoring. It's like young people saying, "I have to teach." Well, maybe I have to teach Canadians. Do you guys know what a bully is? No. Okay. Bully is an old person. It's a South African slang word for being an old person. So I'm a bully. Bully. The bullies and the boots. The bullies and the brothers. Anyway, the point I was trying to make was that sometimes we think of our father at home. My daughter thinks of me sometimes about the bully. I'm only joking. She doesn't really. Because it's disrespectful. God is not the man upstairs, the big guy in the sky. Wow. How far we know about Him. Holy Spirit is not Casper. He's not the friendly ghost. He's a Him. If we learn to see Him as a person, we'll learn to relate better to Him. And I know because it's, "But I can't see Him." Well, you never saw Jesus either. You see the works of Jesus. We know He walked this earth. We know people saw Him. But you and me have never seen Jesus either. Let's have a look. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in one verse. John 14:17. The Holy Spirit is a Him. When we relate to Him that way, it will be better for us and for us to understand it. Number two, Holy Spirit is not weird. Okay. Now, one of our values, and we've debated this as elders, so let me walk on a thin line here. We want to be wild for Jesus. We don't want to be weird for Jesus. Now, I understand this is subjective. Because my wild could be Ellen's weird. And if I'm being wild, Ellen might think, well, Mark, you're being weird. And that's why we have the spirit of discernment. So he can discern what is going on. And we can go through a whole many things and stories I've told you about. Ooh, that's really weird. And then the Holy Spirit say, arrest. Do you say, no, 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 just wait. I'm working. You can go, but God, that's really weird. Like a woman who had manic depression for 20 years, fell down in the Holy Spirit, because I believe in that stuff. Because when I get to some other stuff, you'll think, well, doesn't he believe in that? And she was actually doing like a breaststroke on the floor. And I was like, well, that's weird. That's not God. That is weird. Holy Spirit, I wasn't the pastor. I was just in the meeting. I was just watching this. The next day we found out that woman who had manic depression for 20 years was completely healed and never had depression again in her life. And so we have to learn to discern what is the Holy Spirit doing. And when the Holy Spirit comes on us like that in times like that, it's to empower us and to teach us and to touch us and to heal us. I've told you how after I recently got saved, I went to a conference, and for 5 days in this conference, every time we worshipped, I cried. Now, I just want you to know, it takes a big man to cry. And eventually my wife, well, what are you crying about? I said, I don't know. The Holy Spirit was working in my heart, healing stuff inside of me. Repairing my heart, fixing me. 12-year-old kid in our church once came up to the front for prayer, went down under the power of the Holy Spirit. We said to him, what happened to him afterwards? His name was also Mark. Mark, what happened? He says, I was just lying there and I saw this in my head. I saw this big white dove fly over me and his stomach opened and like water poured out and was his love being poured upon me. And that kid changed his life forever, started serving Jesus, and today he leads a hip-hop band in South Africa called Parable 15. An amazing testimony of God's grace over a kid's life. And we can go on, and we can go on. Where am I? Holy Spirit's not weird. Let's just leave it at that. Let me say right here that I consider it a heresy to speak of shaking, trembling, falling, dancing, clapping, shouting, and such actions as the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Sorry. There are too many Christians who are satisfied with such emotional reactions and thus do not seek to grow in grace and become channels through whom the Holy Spirit may manifest His gifts for the edification of the church. There was written by a guy called David Duplessis. The Spirit bade me go in his book. And he was considered to be the main founder of the charismatic movement. And there's the whole information. And the reason I say this is that we have to understand that when that stuff does happen, we go, ooh, look, it's the Holy Spirit. No, it's just the manifestation, the human manifestation of what the Holy Spirit is person's doing in their life. Because afterwards, I want to see fruit. They will know us by our falling down and shaking and rattling and rolling and crying. No. They will know us by our fruits. Yeah. And I've been there. I've fallen down. I've cried. I've shaken. I've rocked and rolled. I've done the whole deal. I know I'm sounding like I'm making a piffling of it. I'm not. It's seriously. Deep impact in my life. Because the Holy Spirit was doing stuff. And this is the fruit of Him doing stuff in my life. But if we're coming just week after week after week after week, then we've stepped out of godly focus, Holy Spirit focus, Jesus focus, into self-focus because it makes me feel good. Do you hear the difference? Okay, you're all very quiet here. Thank you, Chris. At least I know I'm preaching to the right people. The Holy Spirit is not weird, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Here we're saying, well, no, Jesus, you stay with us. Don't go. We want you. We love you, Jesus. You stay with us. He says, it's to your advantage. Because if it wasn't to our advantage, what would happen? Us people in Canada would be bereft. Because Jesus would be in Israel. But the Holy Spirit's in Israel and Canada and South Africa and Guyana and the Caribbean and Germany and France. And have I left any nation out? A whole lot. India. Sri Lanka. Where's? Cape Town. Thank you. Quebec. It's a joke. It's a joke. Nobody's in Quebec too. So what is he saying? He says, I want you to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to connect with the Holy Spirit. He says, I will send him to you. You will not come, but if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying, don't worry, guys. It's okay. I'm going to the Father. For you who think Jesus is here, he's not here. Oh. He is seated in heavenly realms. He's with the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit here to represent the Father and the Son. And that's why we need to get hold and grasp and wow, I need the Holy Spirit more, and I need an intimate relationship with Him, and I need the person of the Holy Spirit in my life more than I've ever had to Him before. He wants to spend time with us. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Now, some people tell you, well, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not saved and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not biblical. That's not true. But if you do, that's the best way to communicate with the Holy Spirit, spirit to spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit is God. We're good with God the Father, as I said. We're good with Jesus, the Son. And then, them being one, John 14 says that. I and the Father and the Father and me, so we get that. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead of the Trinity. He is the third person, not second best, not someone else, not anything else. Equal. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Blah, 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 blah. And you have not lied to man, but to God. When we lie to the Holy Spirit, we've lied to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. He says to him, you could have, we know the story of Ananias. They went and they sold their stuff. And they actually, it wasn't that they couldn't keep the stuff back. It wasn't that they couldn't keep some for themselves, but they lied about it. They pretended this was all. We sold our house for 500,000. We're bringing you 450,000. We're keeping 50,000 for ourselves. But they didn't. They said, we sold the house for 450,000. Here it is. Good heart running ahead, not sensitive of the Holy Spirit. Understanding that. Matthew 28:19 says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have ever said stuff like this, you can repent this morning and not say it again. If someone has said it to you, you can say to them, your theology is wrong, my friend. The Holy Spirit is not there. The Holy Spirit's not in that church. That is unbiblical. That is almost like heresy, because we know we carry the person of the Holy Spirit in us. So when I arrive, he comes. And we shouldn't really say, come Holy Spirit, because he's already here. But what we want to see is more of his manifest presence. That's what we want. We want to see more of his manifest presence. We actually do, in times, want to feel his presence upon us. Yeah. We do want to, if it works for you that way. I know sometimes, I'm just being how it is. In the early days, Bridget used to say, come and pray till that thing happens. And sometimes, and I've prayed for some of you and you've felt it. And I lay hands on you, I feel like an electric shock goes through my body. And I go, I don't know. Bridget used to say, pray until the thing comes, pray until the thing comes. I said, hey, it's Holy Spirit, you know. It's not me. And then something, some people happen with you, your hands get hot, or your head gets hot, or your body gets cold, or, you know, I don't know, whatever. God uses us in different ways, and there's no one size fits all. What we have to be careful of, and this is not in my notes, we have to be careful of what they call NLP, neuro-linguistic processing. That when you see someone shaking like this, don't copy that. Because, oh, that looks spiritual. Because if it works for that person, it doesn't necessarily mean that we... And my heart is that we so much want to see the power of the Holy Spirit working, we think that if we copy that, then it'll work for us. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Rather let the Holy Spirit work. We had a lady in South Africa. She's been here, actually. Ann Arnold. Sherwin and Ann came and ministered here once. Nothing. Nothing. She would say, Holy Spirit's all over me, and everyone's going, oh, she's not shaking, oh, she's not falling down, oh, she's not trembling, or her eyes aren't watering. Nothing. Just, she could say, I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit, and she'd minister. Someone falls down, that's wonderful. If someone doesn't, that's wonderful. We don't have to all copy each other. Are you hearing me this morning? Be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. Be free to allow the Holy Spirit to use you as He chooses. Not because you see somebody doing this, you think, well, I have to do that too, and if I don't do this too... And I'm belaboring the point. Let me get back to my notes, because then I'm safe. Then I don't get into trouble. Yeah. Now, I'm not being funny here. Holy Spirit is my BFF. He is my best friend forever. Paul ends his letter with this reminder, and he says to the Corinthians in his second letter, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is Trinity work here, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's his benediction prayer for the Corinthian church. And the message says, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? And so I went through and I looked up at different kinds of translations and what that said. And most of them say fellowship. Some of them say communion with the Holy Spirit. As I've said to you, the message says the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. But it says the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the debt and the price that we had incurred. We incurred the debt. We incurred the price. And Jesus came along, hung on the cross for us, died for us, bled for us, body broken for us as we did communion this morning for us, rose again, resurrected life. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes to give us life and life abundant. May I have a tissue, please? And He gives us life abundant. And He comes and He blesses us. Sorry, guys, I've had bronchitis for the last week, so I'm still having the... I'll try not to be rude, yeah, but... I'm free, yeah. Thank you. You don't want to hear me blow my nose like a trumpet. Oh, it doesn't matter. Leave it. It's like, you know, I can get like that. Hey, come on, brother. Okay. All right. Stop. Let me get back to where I was. The extravagant love of God the Father sacrificed His only Son for us. And the fellowship, Jesus came and died, the Father gave the Son, Holy Spirit came and He sealed that with us. You can read it in your Bibles, we don't have time for it. But He came and He sealed that new covenant with us. And we are the inheritance of Him. And it says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And what that word in the Greek is, it means koinonia. And what that means is fellowship, partnership and intimate friendship. What it says is we got each other's back. It says close mutual association. But for this to happen, we have to be in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. We can't ignore Him. We've got to be in constant communion with Him. How about this? Now, I don't do this. So just to be clear. If I'm pursuing other women, Do you think my wife is going to come and share the intimate secrecies of her heart with me? Point in point. If we are pursuing the world, do you think the Holy Spirit is going to come and share the intimate secrets of His heart with you? Just a thought. Just a thought. Koinonia. We need the Holy Spirit more than we need oxygen. I think there's a song we should write about that. Oxygen, more than your love again. Second question, we're nearly done. What is the Holy Spirit's role in my life? The He wills in the Gospel of John. What is the Holy Spirit's role in my life? In John 13, chapter 13, we have the Last Supper and Jesus washes the disciples' feet and He sits down. And do you think Jesus was a confrontational type of person? And He's sitting with the 12 dudes, His guys, and He looks up at the table. Just picture this with me. Let's go a little bit poetic license for a while. And they take the bread and they break the bread and they dip it in the bowl and then they eat it. And Jesus looks up at the table. He's got His head bowed down. He takes His hand. And as He's dipping in the bowl, another guy's hand is dipped in the bowl and He looks up and He says, "The one whose hand is dipped in the bowl with me will betray me." And He eats the bread. And Judas gets up and leaves. Can't read the account. And then when Judas leaves, Jesus has this little discourse with His disciples, chapters 14, 15, and 16. And He talks about the Holy Spirit and what He will do and what He will reveal. And the first thing He says, "He will be with me forever." John 14, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." And I know I've often played on this and I thought, man, because we always hear, "We'll send you the Parakletos," and we know that that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is the Parakletos, and He will send, but He says, "Another helper." And what we don't get is when He says another helper, is He says, "I'm already here. I am your helper. But I'm going to send one equal in quality to me. Not less than me." Because if you go and study the Greek, it says allos, parakletos, which means equal in authority, equal in power, equal in quality, the same as me. I'm going to send another one just like me called Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit does. And he says, "He will be your helper, counselor, comforter, friend, advocate." That's the Parakletos. And He says, "The one who will intercede and stand on your behalf." This is who Jesus sent for us. This is His role for us. One who stands alongside. And it's like if I go to pick up a big plank and it's too heavy for me to pick up, and I pick up this side of it, who picks up the other side? Parakletos. Holy Spirit, He comes alongside, He helps me. He helps me pick up this plank and helps me carry it and helps me take it to wherever I need to take it. And when you're in dire straits and you need stuff, we call on the Holy Spirit. And we say, "Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, I need a decision. What is the decision I should make? What should I make? How should I make this decision? What does this decision look like? Should I buy a blue car or a green car? Should I buy a big house or a small house? Should I buy a red car or I don't know. But the point is, we just go ahead and we do it. And then afterwards, we go and we say, "Hey, I bought this car." And the guys go, "Dude, green car's the wrong color car to go buy. Wow. Well, it's this and this and this." And, "Oh, man. Did you ask anyone?" "No." And again, we don't ask for permission. We ask for perspective. How many times have you wanted to do something? I know. I've got an email and I've typed out the email. Little voice, well actually a very big voice, says, "Don't send that." Why? I will feel so justified if I send this. I'll feel so good about myself. Man, I've written this so well. go down and say to Brenda, oh, I want to say this, this, and this. She said, oh, no, I agree with you. She said, I only need one Holy Spirit, you know. Delete, don't send. He's another comforter, one of equal in quality, as I said. Number two, he will reveal all truth to me, to you, to me. He will reveal all truth. But the Helper, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 14:26. Through the Word of God, through the revelation of what the Bible teaches, those things when sometimes you've read it over and over and over again and it means absolutely nothing to you, it's black letters on a white page, and you go, oh man, I don't get this. And all of a sudden, one day, it screams out at you, and you go, wow! That's called Holy Spirit. That's not your intelligence. That's not your brain trust. That's not what's inside your head. That's Holy Spirit. When Bridget and I first went into the ministry, we'd go and counsel people, and we'd go away, and we'd go, man, wow. She said, how did you know that stuff? I said, I don't know. Haven't a clue. How did you know that? Ah, I haven't a clue. Holy Spirit. Sometimes man can't teach you that stuff. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's got to teach you that stuff. That's when you go, count to 10. You know the story when someone gets up your nose? Do you use that expression here? Irritates you, make you mad. You know, in the world they say he's throwing his toys out his cot. Well, we don't as Christians. We throw our fruit. We have to learn to count to 10. Holy Spirit, speak to me. What do I say? Where am I? He will teach us. Bring words of knowledge to you. Holy Spirit. Not our cleverness. Sometimes deep down in your knower, you know, your knower is down here somewhere. Deep down in your knower, you just know. Remember the old Sunday school song? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. No one ever heard that song? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Oh my word. I did go to Sunday school, as you can see. My word. Okay, let's move on. Nearly done. Number three, he will empower me to share Jesus. He will bear witness about me. He reminds believers that when we bear witness about Christ, the Holy Spirit is working silently and invisibly through their words. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So the Holy Spirit doesn't come up and make up his own stuff as he goes along. Just like Jesus, he only does what the Father tells him to do. The Holy Spirit came and he says, Lord, what do I tell these guys? And we're so used to the Lord Jesus saying, we forget that the Holy Spirit's also in communication with the Father and the Son. And he said, and you'll also bear witness to me because you've been with me from the beginning. And he's talking to his disciples there. But for us, we see that he says, when we will bear witness about him. And we bear that out in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. Dunamis. That's what the word is. When the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Greek word for witness is martos. Meaning, we get the word martyr from. Oh, I don't know. I used to like that scripture. I don't really like it anymore. I wanted to be a witness that there's no way I'm being a martyr. The Holy Spirit empowers us to share the gospel of grace, the message of salvation, the life and resurrection. It's about people and their souls. It's not about gifts. Charismatic church has got too carried away on the gifts And they are vitally important for today. And they are vitally important to us to understand. But it's actually not how gifted you are. It's about people's lives who are going to be damned to hell. It's about people's lives and their souls for eternity. We have been on a misguided mission for too long. I'm not talking about the bridge. I'm talking about church in general. So what gift have you got, brother? Well, who cares? You know, let it be shown forth. If it rises to the top, it rises to the top. Are you a good witness of Jesus Christ? That's the question. He will empower me to share more. He empowers us. Oh, yeah, wow, 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 wow. There's another one we get caught on. He will convict me of sin. Mostly when we hear that word convict, we go negative. Oh, it's a negative thing and I feel so convicted. Makes me feel bad about myself. The enemy wants you to feel bad. The conviction I'm talking about is not a conviction to make you feel bad. Why? Scripture's clear. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We are not condemned. Do we make mistakes? Do we mess up? Absolutely. We have to learn to read Scripture in context of what it's all saying. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. It's not just people stop there and say, He's going to convict you of your sin. You're convicted, son. You need to repent. Well, I already repented and asked for forgiveness of my sins. Whole another sermon. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. That's what conviction of sin is, the unbelief in Jesus. That's what that's about. Concerning righteousness, Christ died on the cross unrighteous. He took upon all our sin upon Him. He rose again righteous. Because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan is the ruler of the world. He's already been judged. Like I've said many times, go to the end of the book, we win. But we've got to live a good life. We can't just like tiptoe through the days and well, we'll just get to the end of the book and we win, so it's all cool. Unbelief in Jesus. Sin is deceptive. The devil is a liar. He is the father of all lies. We cannot listen to him. We should learn this verse. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Holy Spirit comes along and says, don't go down that path. Don't do that. We are weak at saying no because of a myriad of things. Go to the left, go to the right. I'm not so sure. No, just walk down the straight path. Walk this way, walk in it. Last one. He will guide me. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own. There you go. On His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak and He will declare to you the things that are to come. You know, we say, well, I want more of the Holy Spirit. May I just say to you this morning, wrong question? That's the wrong question. We have been given the fullness of the God, fullness of Jesus, fullness of the Holy Spirit. There's not more for us to get. The right question is, how much will I give of myself to Him? That's the question. I know once I preached in South Africa and I said to them, you can have as much of the Holy Spirit as you want. And I offended a lady so badly. Well, what are you saying? I said, no. The wrong question is, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you doing about that? He's given you all there is. I mean, what is there more to give? The Son came, He bled and died and was beaten and rose again on the third day. And He said, don't worry, I'm sending an equal partner for you. I'm giving you all of this. And then we still run around going, because we don't understand, we don't get it. Please, I'm not condemning. I'm just saying we need to understand it better. It's not, oh, we want more of you, we want more of you. And he's standing going, you've got all of me, you've got all of me. But you're playing and dabbling with things you shouldn't be. I can't give you the secrets of my heart because you're not communicating with me. You don't fellowship with me. I've given you all of me. Are you hearing me? For us, it's about the abundant life, to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Know His voice above other voices. Because there are a myriad of voices in your lives. Trust me. In guiding, He will bring peace into the decisions we make. Now, I just want to read something to you. In actual fact, I'm going to ask you all to stand. Because this is introducing the Holy Spirit, and I don't want you to worry about anyone around you. I want you to allow the words to wash over you. It's not my own work, so just so you know, I got it from a friend. I loved it so much, I just thought there's no point in me in trying to change this. Just close your eyes. Say, and for me here, is my great privilege after giving you this intro, this short intro, to introduce you to someone who needs no introduction. He hails from all eternity, true deity, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Within the Godhead, He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. Outside the Godhead, He has no equal. He is undefeated in battle, unstoppable in purpose, immeasurable in glory, invincible in calling. He is the executor of God's will, revealer of God's nature, author of God's word, ignition of God's power, and the preservation of His salvation, and is the guarantee of complete victory and redemption. This is the Holy Spirit. His role in creation was to preside over the great deep, hovering, parenting, shepherding, and ensuring the manifestations of God's creative word. He still executes God's sustaining word over the universe. He currently presides over the world to preserve life. With consummate artistry, He gives creative expression that is beauty, scope, and dimension to the will of God and reveals His nature through what He creates. He is responsible for the creation of order out of chaos. Measuring, calculating, weighing parts of creation, He brought them into existence. Do you know Him? He is responsible for the creation of design, adorning the heavens with creativity and enduing them with beauty. He is the breath of life breathed into mankind and currently sustains all life in men. He preserves His creation and brings renewal to it. Renewal, restoration, and transformation. He is the eternal Spirit of God, equal in nature, loving, faithful, kind, gracious, compassionate, forgiving. He is also omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and immutable. Yet, He is separate in person and submissive in duties. He is the helper Jesus promised would come, the faithful helper to Jesus, the one given to believers today. Known as the Spirit of God's Son, the Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of Christ. As helper, He secured Jesus' virgin birth, oversaw His growth, and empowered His ministry, strengthening Him during the temptation, establishing His miracles, fueled His atoning work, and raised Him from the dead, and triumphantly effected His ascension. He gives the breath of life to all who live. He is the eternal Spirit, igniting eternal life in those who believe. The Spirit of fire to cleanse and purify. The generous Spirit who delivers God's bounty to us by freely giving us all things along with Christ. He is the good Spirit, rich in kindness and abounding in love and faithfulness. He is the Holy Spirit, immensely beautiful, pure in nature and completely trustworthy. As the Spirit of grace, He pours out an excessive and abundance of grace constantly into our lives. As the Spirit of truth, He always speaks the truth, the author of Scripture and wields the Word as the most potent of weapons. He is the perfect guide into all the avenues of truth. He is the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding and ushering believers into great depths that we have not known. It's ours for the asking. He leads us into the ocean depths of God, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He is the steadfast Spirit, helping believers continue on to maturity, completing the work He began, remaining faithful when we are not, encouraging us through trials, and seeing us into eternal dwelling. That's our Holy Spirit. Do you know Him? Father, we come to You this morning, Lord God, and we thank You for Your word, the introduction to the Holy Spirit. There's so much more we could say, Father. The Holy Spirit, as we believe You've walked through this room this morning, Lord, You've touched, infected, and changed, filled people's lives, Lord. Guide us into all truth. Lead us into victory and triumph. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.